Hello and welcome to Through the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Thanks very much for joining. Joined this week by Falkirk central midfielder Blair Alston. How are you, Blair?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks very much for coming on. And as usual, Muzz and James are here as well. How are you, boys?
Not bad, eh?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Good. So, like last week when we had Greg Spence on, Blair's very kindly agreed to come on and just have a chat with us about all things football. And just how he's enjoying his time at Falkirk, and we'll talk about his career thus far. Blair, I've just realised actually in the intro there I called you a centre midfielder. Is that right these days? Are you playing mainly central?
These days definitely been central. It's one of those things, like people always like ask you where you prefer playing. And it sounds so cliched, but it's like, see, as long as you're playing, you generally don't mind. But I think central is where I've played my best football and certainly probably where I've played most of it. So
good. Enjoying it?
Yeah, no, really good. I think obviously like people always say, like, don't go back to former clubs and stuff because I don't know, the cliched saying, but I've really enjoyed it. It's been brilliant since I've been back. So it is one of those clubs that makes you feel like at home. And obviously, a bit disappointing the season got cut, started back, whatever's going to happen with it. But no, it's been really good so far.
Good. So I think, like last week, Muzz, you're going to take the role of MC question master. Although I said that last week and I probably asked more questions than you, so I'm going to sit off the game this week and let you dictate. Blair, Muzz will ask most of the questions if that's all right, and me and James will just kind of chip in as we go. Muzz, over to you.
Yeah, I was just gonna touch on your thoughts on the season so far, or what you couldn't really call it a season. It's been a funny one, but in terms of just football wise, how have you rated it so far? I mean, obviously he's a top of the table. Would you consider it a job well done so far?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was difficult. We had like a big turnaround in squad start season. And I think obviously with the time off that like sort of COVID was and the layoff and things, it was challenging when we first sort of started back. But I think we'd done well. Especially early on, I think we were like comfortable in a lot of games and got a good few victories, especially away victories and stuff where we thought maybe challenging games early doors, but got ourselves in a good position. And I think it was probably only the last couple of weeks before we actually shut down the game where we sort of had a couple of bad results. Overall, no, it's been good for us. I think we were doing well. And as you say, like top league at this stage is as good, as annoying as it is, it's sort of been cut as it has.
Aye, it's obviously taking the momentum out of it a wee bit. How important is the experience in that squad though, in that league, where as far as I'm concerned in that league, like it's mad, any team can beat anyone on their day, sort of home and away. So it's obviously a stupid question because it's obviously important, but you've got likes of yourself and Morgaro Gomez, Paul Dixon, Salmon. How important are having these guys around? Gary Miller, how important is it having these guys around when you're trying to just, you know, get out of what is a difficult league, and obviously a bigger club with bigger ambitions.
Yeah, no, it is one of those things. Like again, what you said, that is, it almost seems like a silly thing to say, but you only really appreciate experience when you've either got it or you've got it around you. I mean, it's one of those ones when you're younger coming through, and everyone's like, oh, you'll get that experience, and you sort of think, like, I'm sure I know already, and then you start getting experience, and you're like, oh wait a minute, this actually. Just silly things like how to handle games, like times where we were winning maybe 1-0 and maybe younger boys are thinking, oh, we need to go score a second and a third or whatever, and you're saying that, like, you can win games 1-0. Like, sometimes you're not going to play well, sometimes you're just going to grind out games. And I think that was something we'd done really well at the start of the season. Maybe not playing as well as we could, given, like, the quality. I couldn't believe the quality in the squad as well when I first went back. You sort of feared as if, like, dropping down a couple of levels, you're thinking, wait, like, how is it going to be? And then you turn up to training first day and you think, like, it is a club that's way below where it should be, and sort of we know that it's about getting it back up. But certainly in terms of the league, it was experience that sort of gets you over the games where you're maybe not playing as well. And like you said, we've got like a lot of it in the squad, but it's a good blend with young players as well coming through, trying to sort of make their name for themselves as well. So now so far for us, it's been really good, and certainly players that have had really good careers, which definitely helps.
I was quite impressed by the recruitment in the summer. A lot of good players brought in. The two that kind of stood out for me, Cal Morrison, obviously, and then Sean Kelly coming back, obviously, Premier League last year as well. So how you found Callum?
Cal's brilliant. Cal's honestly the probably one of the fewest players I've played with that just You can't get him off the pitch at all. He just won't stop training. Like you, it's one of those, you finish training, he takes 20 balls away and he starts shelling them at the goals and sprints about and stuff. And we get like the GPS stats at training where you're recorded like your distance, high speed running, and everyone's like kind of muchness. And then Cal's just like right at the top, like a proper just a road runner, just goes all the time, which is class because it's good to have people like that that sort of, they're so like young and enthusiastic and energetic and stuff. And then it keeps you like that all the time. You want to make sure that you're sort of, you don't let your standards slip in terms of how much you're tracking back runners and training and that kind of stuff. Keeps everyone else feeling like younger as well.
I was at Stirling Albion just helping with the fitness and stuff when Cal went in on loan for Hearts, and yeah, it was the exact same, to be fair. His attitude was unbelievable. He was just a young boy, I think, 16, 17, and he was starting games, but he was still trying to help out with the kit and gather the balls at the end of training. And he, like you're saying, he wanted to stay in the field all the time, but he's an interesting character in the dressing room as well. Yeah.
You get people. I mean, he drinks Red Bulls before game. He must have like 3-4 Red Bulls before a game. You think like, no wonder you're buzzing about the place. He must just crash when he goes home, because that's what he's like the full time. But he's been really good. And obviously scored like a few goals for us already this season, and scored like big goals in big games as well for us. So get people at coming to the club. It's always helpful. And then like you said about Sean Kelly, somebody that's played at like a sort of higher level for most of his career, obviously experienced down south in that as well. And he's got quality like that sort of throughout the squad. It definitely helps. So now we started well, and hopefully we can carry on when we go back.
It's quite refreshing to see guys like yourself who probably in your prime, and you know, no doubt you could obviously still be operating at SPL level. But was that quite a draw for you? Because it's your hometown club, Falkirk High, and.
Well, to be fair, I was actually, this is the weirdest, because I came through the sort of the youth at Falkirk. I'd been there for, I think, under 14s, maybe my first year there, right the way through. But I was born in Kirkcaldy. And so I used to get so much stick from Falkirk fans from being from Fife. And then all my mates were Dunfermline fans. Used to get so much stick for playing for Falkirk at the same time. So it almost feels like my hometown club, because it's one of those where I had been there for my full like youth career, basically. And then obviously so many like first team games before I left. So there was definitely like an attraction going back there.
Yeah. I don't want to get bogged down in the COVID stuff, as I said to Greg Spence last week when he was on, but obviously it's something that people are talking about. And Greg put a really interesting opinion across from his point of view as a part-time player and his plumbing business, how he had a slightly different take on the leagues being suspended. Not that he obviously wants to play, but what as a full-time player and everything, what's your opinion basically on the thought on the leagues one and two being suspended when you see the likes of the championship being allowed to go ahead?
Yeah, I think when we first got told about it, it was when the number seemed like really high, and you could almost see that because we weren't testing at the time, that you could see why it got shut down. I think what was like the confusing bit was just like how it got shut down, and then it seemed like the clubs were wanting to go back and were willing to do the things that they needed to, that other clubs in the championship were doing, but then that wasn't allowed. So that was obviously disappointing for us. But I totally got it. I mean, me and Greg have spoken about it a lot, and he's obviously in a different situation because he's working, and then he's got to go to training at night and that kind of thing. And when you hear him talk about it, you think, I can see why you maybe wouldn't be in a, like, you want everything to be right and in place before you go back. For us, it was really disappointing because we knew what the club had put in, like protocols and stuff wise, and how it was. Like, you were driving every day, training yourself. It was all like the hand gels as you go in, just all the things that you'd expect, temperature checks every morning and stuff. And you know, the club's probably spent a mini fortune sort of getting it ready for us. And then you kind of get shut down, and you see part-time clubs in the league above, and that's allowed. And it was almost like, where's the cutoff between like how many part-time clubs you allowed in a league before you can go back? I think now, obviously, there's like talk of it going back. We don't know exact like dates and things, and it's just good, because I think for my situation, it was just when you've not got it, it's sort of like, what do you do with yourself? And you're off all the time. You're trying to keep yourself fit, but it's just not the same. So the sooner we can get back, the better. For this has always been my sort of point of view.
I thought it was class that all the clubs sort of came together. They're talking about those 20 clubs in the bottom two divisions, because Craig Levine's been on the radio tonight saying, oh, that's it, just didn't bother going back, let's start again next season. And obviously you'll be disappointed not to be going back and then pushing higher up the table, but similarly there'll be teams down the bottom of the league that'll be like, actually no, let's cancel it. So the fact that all 20 clubs came together and went, hi, let's go for it, I think it's been brilliant. But how have you found like the consistency across going to different clubs and the protocols and that? Is everything just bog standard, just the same?
To be fair, most of it comes from like your own. I think it's come from your own club. So even when you go away games, because I mean, you're obviously we've not been really been in change rooms much this season. When you go away grounds, you've been in like directors' boxes or lounges and different areas and stuff. But clubs, they've done it well. Every time we've been to places, you're out of the way from the other team, and you've got plenty of space to get changed, all the facilities and stuff. So I think as long as you're doing it properly, you're going to be okay with it. Obviously, the big debate just comes when you're actually like on the pitch and you can't not be in contact if you're playing with 11 other players from different teams, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's difficult because there's no way you can sort of stop it, especially that kind of contact. But at the same time, I think if you do everything properly, we were taking like two buses to away games and you were only sitting every like third seat and things like that just to make sure you were like doing the best you possibly could. And I think we were quite a few times we had sort of like higher up league opposition in cup games and rounds of COVID testing before it, and really small. I think one time we had two and the other time there was nobody. So I think the club was obviously doing a lot right. So it'd be good to go back and hopefully keep doing that as well.
I was just going to say, from an outsider point of view as well, like I couldn't agree more that the clubs are doing the best they can in the situation. Like having been Falkirk, you know, you go in, you've got the questionnaire, you know, there's hand sanitizer, you're directed one way straight to the stand. You're given somewhere to sit that's well away from everywhere else. Same with like any other grounds I've been to. And I think the players have shown real resilience as well to just get on with it. I was at Forfar and they were given like Hull City style. They had the team talk on the pitch, you know, they were all sitting on the pitch. And I went to the toilet and the boy Murray McIntosh came running out the wee porta cabin toilet before me, you know what I mean? So they're all, I think it's like credit to the players as well, who have to put up with a lot of adversity and a lot of hum and hawing from the government as well, as we've seen in recent days as well. So
yeah, I mean, it is difficult, and as well, like we say, like I think everyone really looks at it from their own point of view as well in the football. So that's when you say like part-time boys and they've got jobs and they've got to do that, like that is maybe more important to them. And it's not about saying they don't want to go back and play football, it's just you have to look at sort of your own circumstances. And obviously for us, it's just been as a full-time club, like that is your job. So it's like the sooner you can go back, the better. And as I say, because of how well I knew the club was sort of doing it, you feel quite comfortable going back.
I was just going to ask about how you found it trying to build like a culture or like a winning team when, you know, your training's obviously cut a wee bit shorter, because there's boys that must touched on like Gomez and that's got quality, must be class to have around, to be able to hang about with, to be able to speak to. But you didn't get that sort of downtime, I suppose, or do you find that's quite a stop-start training?
No, that is probably the biggest disappointment of like this season just as a whole, was just that one of the best bits about football is the changing room. And it's like no matter who you speak to, people that retire, people that have played, it's like that's what they say. And it's just the whole atmosphere around the club is, you tend to find ones with like good changing rooms end up doing better throughout seasons as well, almost regardless of quality. And that is like, it is a bit rubbish that you turn up and you basically turn up on your own, get the boots on, go and train, and then you're away. So it's like the only kind of laugh and joke you have is when you're training. So it's definitely not the same. But I think that especially after the first sort of like lockdown, we went back, everyone was so desperate just to go back that you had such a laugh just being there that you kind of got on with it a bit. But it's definitely not the same. And that is like what you miss, is like the kind of just everything, just like you boys will sit from changing rooms for like an hour after training, just like chatting, having a laugh, like playing stupid games, anything, just to like sort of have a wee bit of like banter going. Obviously you don't get any of that just now, so it is, that bit's a bit disappointing, but it's one of those where you kind of, you don't mind not having it to make sure you can go back playing, but then it would be much better if you could have a sort of happy medium with both.
Do you think, Blair, that it's actually, because I saw a thing on Twitter, I can't remember who put it up, but they were saying it might be harder for the mental health for the full-time players in League One than it is for the part-time players. Because like you said, there, football's obviously your job. See, just using Greg as an example here, day in, day out, his routine probably hasn't changed. 9 to 5, he's still going to work, filling his day. Whereas you don't really have anything to do through the day, obviously, because football's your job. So is it harder for you boys full-time because you've got nothing to occupy your day compared to part-time boys have maybe got uni or jobs and things like that?
I think that's probably always on. It's probably more just on an individual basis. I think some people just deal with situations like that better, and I think that it certainly highlights like the troubles that people have with mental health, because I mean it is rubbish. It has been rubbish over the past sort of like year, but it's been rubbish for everyone just in different ways. And I think some people cope with it really well, and some people find almost like look at it as a positive and say, right, I've got this much free time, I can go and do X, Y, Z, I can go and do stuff around the house, whatever it is that you need to do. But after a while, it gets a bit sort of draining, and you go, like what you say, it's like if you did have an alternative, you did have another job, or you did have something else you could do, you could maybe take your mind off it at times. Where there has been lots of days where you're sitting, you've done the running in the morning, you get home, and you're thinking, all right, that's what, 10 o'clock on a Monday, like what do I do for the next 10 hours before whatever? So,
you have to keep that as a treat sometimes, eh? Just if you're running up for an afternoon job.
It is. I mean, it's generally like you're doing runs in the morning, you're almost wanting to run three times a day just so you have like a different activity. It's the weirdest thing ever. But then, I mean, I've been quite fortunate that there's loads of stuff that I've needed done in the house, and I've been almost like trying to get myself busy like that way. But
get Spencey around for some plumbing.
Yeah, I get Spencey. Yeah, I still try to get him back for a bathroom. So, but no, it's hard to keep yourself busy. And there'll be people that are full time that have got nothing else, that are probably sitting at home staring at four walls, and I'd imagine that it's really challenging. Quite fortunate that I've got like sort of my wife, dog, good people around me and stuff as well. So it's like you've got company where there will be people that are like really struggling with it, probably part time and full time. So, hopefully, people does get better.
I know, obviously, you've probably got fitness programs sent out and assigned like that. Have you, see, at Falkirk, have you got like an analyst that's, because I know Greg had said, obviously, Stenny, he's been getting clips and stuff sent to him about his game. Is that something over this lockdown that you've had the chance to do? Like, is that something you've interested in, like watching your games back to pick up pointers and stuff like that for you personally and for the team?
Yeah, we've got like an analyst that does sort of like opposition and looks at things that like maybe we've done as a team, like as a whole, basically. I've not really had like individual clips. It's probably something I've never really had like throughout my career, it's like individual clips of it. It's more maybe on a Monday after the game, you'll watch the game back or you watch parts of it and they'll say like, what's happened to you, why have you done that, or good things, like that was what we want you to do more of, basically. And Falkirk have been good at that. They've got sort of, like every week we watch sort of the next team we're playing, where their threats are, where we can like exploit it and then go work on it and stuff. But individually, it's one, I've always felt something you should sort of like take on yourself. You should like watch a game back, because I mean, you get access to every game if you want it, and you watch the full game back, but you probably know a lot of time as well what you're doing wrong and where you can change and stuff. So, but it's good. It's something that I've probably always done, is look back at, not it's easy to just look back at, well, both like all your negatives and all your positives, but it's good to see not just, oh, I scored, so I'm going to watch the game back. It's good to say like why was I getting chances, or how was I stopping their player as well. It's not always just sort of, as I say, like, oh, I've scored a penalty, so I'm going to watch the game so I can see my celebration again. It's just about sort of analysing your overall game, really.
Moving on maybe to like a bit of general about your career, Blair. You obviously, you left Falkirk after a few seasons trying to get out the championship. And obviously you lost the, I think it was your last season you lost in the playoff, was it the playoff final?
Yeah.
Did you sort of see that as maybe like, okay, I'm maybe not going to get the chance to play for Falkirk in the SPL where I want to be? And maybe is that what kind of led you to moving on?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that year was probably my best year in football, like as like individually and as a team, in terms of, I don't know, it just felt like every week we were going to win. We just felt like we were playing big games all the time. Like, sort of stadium was like a great buzz about the place. Stadium was always full.
I think you were double figures for goals as well, weren't you? That year?
I think it's, I don't know if I think like 11 or 12 I finished, but which is for me was the first time I sort of got to that target as well. As you always say to yourself, you want 10 at the start of the season, but it was the first time I really got there. But it just felt like a real like feel good season, and it got to about January time, and I think I was on maybe like 7 or 8 at that point. But they'd been playing well, and the team had been doing well, and I sort of knew that there was clubs interested, and I sort of thought, right, this is my, I was a free agent at the end of the year. I knew I could leave, but I was sort of thinking like, this could be a year where we go up and go and like do something. I think we were constantly like challenging at the top, and for a couple of years we'd had like good cup runs and good chances to get promoted. It just never quite happened, and I thought that, like, this is the year we're going to need to sort of go and do it. And I think it was maybe February time, March time, St Johnston, like, they didn't need to, but they spoke to the club and said, look, we want to speak to them and we want to know like what he's thinking about and stuff. So I kind of knew that that was like always in the back burner. But I said to them right from the beginning, I was like, look, I want to see what happens this year. I want to think about this season only, and then I'll see what happens at the end of it and take what comes. And I think going into the Kilmarnock game, I think the first, like, well, the Hibs, we played, the Hibs was the big ones that season. It was always just felt like there was a proper rivalry almost between us, which was weird from like two clubs that probably felt like they should have been in the leagues above and almost wouldn't have necessarily cared about each other. It just felt like it was us v Hibs all the time. Obviously, like the year before was the cup final year. And it was like the semi-final, we beat Hibs, and it was honestly one of those games we just got battered for 90 minutes and scored like out of nothing. But it was just, it always felt like it was coming between us and them. So the semi-final on the playoffs when we beat them, it was like unbelievable. It just felt like it was just another game and another game. And it just got like that much. I think we beat Kilmarnock 1-0 in the first leg. Mm-hmm. But again, it was like a bit of a smash and grab at home. And we went to the away game and you're just thinking, like, just one more game, just see it out and get ourselves up. And then I think we were 2 or 3-0 down after about 20 minutes. It was just, the boys were done in, like legs were gone. And it was just too much for us. I think that sort of at the end of the game, I remember we took like a full away stand. It was like the atmosphere was incredible, but stayed behind and clapped, obviously, everyone off. And I think at that point, it sort of felt like, it's probably a good time just to leave. It was just, I mean, if we had won and we got ourselves promoted, it's, I don't know if I might not have stayed anyway. I might have still wanted to go and try something new. I'd been there for, as I say, I think it was like eight or nine years since I was like a youth player there. But it just felt like a good time to sort of try like something new. Obviously, the opportunity to play at a higher level was something I like sort of wanted to do. So the moment the game was done, I felt like that's probably the last time I played. I always felt like it was going to be the last time I played for them. I never really thought I was going to be back, but that was definitely like the right time.
So you obviously disagree with Gordon Ramsay's shout about Falkirk then?
Yeah, well, it was funny because I don't know where Gordon Ramsay was actually from, but it's like I think that lots of leagues in Scotland get labelled with terms like that, don't they? But,
I didn't see what the issue was.
I've enjoyed
nothing against Falkirk at all. There's obviously, you mentioned the Scottish Cup final, and you crossed in with a free kick, I think, for Peter Grant. Yeah. A bit of a cliche question, but would you say that's a career highlight, or is that something you don't look back on so fondly because it's obviously a painful one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, in a way, it's both. It's like probably my biggest achievement was to play for the team that got there when we were probably never expected to get that far. And I think almost so many things could have went differently where we lost the game and you would have felt so much better about it. If we were playing and we were 3-0 down to like Inverness, and it was just one of those, you just lost the better team, then that's fine. But I think when we got it back to one each and they were down to 10 men, and it just the way it was going, you just felt like you were going to go and do it. And I think the way we lost the goal sort of so late on, it just like a proper bitter taste in the mouth. But I mean, it's still something I look back at and think it was like an amazing experience and something I'm like proud of that we got there, but yeah, ultimately it was disappointing not to win it.
Was Tommy Wright the manager at St Johnstone when you went in there? Was that right?
Yeah,
you would have had him the full time you were there.
Yeah, he was. It's again like a weird. Just by it's good that sort of go and play at different clubs as well. Is it Falkirk, the way we from like full youth system almost the way we played it was like all about it was total football. You had to try and build it from the back. You had to play out. You had to try and. And it almost didn't matter. I mean, it still mattered more if you won, but it mattered how you played as well. I mean, you could win games 1-0 and they'd be raging at you after the game. They'd be saying, like, that's not good enough. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to change. And you're sort of, like, you're brought up almost thinking that football's all about, like, how you play and not necessarily all about results. I remember going to St Johnstone and it was, like, such an eye-opener. Just some of the boys they had there that were just, like, total winners. And it sounds weird for a club that, I mean, they had just won the Scottish Cup but not long before, but like they were a club that you wouldn't necessarily describe as like serial winners, but they just it just mattered so much to win games. I always remember like one of my first games there, I was on the bench, we were playing Partick Thistle away, and we were winning 1-0 with like 5 minutes to go, and it was probably the worst game of football I'd ever watched. Like we were so bad, just horrendous football, and they were just constantly on top, chance after chance, but we've seen it out 1-1-0. And I remember thinking, this is brilliant. Like, I'm going to go in the change room here. He's going to say, that's not how we play. That's terrible. Next week, you'll be in, get a chance to go and do well. And we came in and just everyone's buzzing about the place and the manager's high-fiving everyone. And he's just like, that's the best. That's what we need to do. That's how we'll get top six and push. And I was like, well, what's going on here? And then just realised that it just it just doesn't matter how you play. It was just, obviously you want to play well, you want to try and dominate the game, you want to try and dominate the ball, but he was really aware of the fact that you win games by being hard to beat, don't concede many goals, and if you score, you're going to go and do well. And I think my first year there, I think we finished fourth in the league, but it was built on just don't concede goals. And see if you went 1-0 up in the game, you knew you were going to win, because the whole team just had this like work ethic of not losing goals, and it was probably the best or the biggest change in my career in terms of like experience-wise of going, there's like more than one way to win a game, and there's going to be times you dominate the ball, and there's going to be times when you're playing nice football, but there's also times where you're going to be horrible and you're going to win 1-0, but you're only playing for the same thing at the end of the day. So
it looked a horrible team.
Class players, everything you win.
You looked a horrible team to play against when like you were there, like, because was it like Dave McKay, Stephen Anderson, like Liam Craig, that sort of dressing. You just looked horrendous to play against. Like
that's what people used to say. That was like one of the things when I first, people used to always say like hated coming to like Perth. They just, nobody wanted to come and play us. And you got like a buzz off that. You started to think like, nobody wanted to come and play you. And it's like that when they're probably saying about teams like Livingston and Hamilton now and things, I don't want to go there. Nobody wants to go to like plastic pitch and stuff. But McDermott Park had that just from being just a hard team to beat. But then it was one of those where you always started with that. But like you had players, especially my first season there, you had players with like so much quality as well that you were going to go and create things against teams anyway. So you kind of started with the defensive side and then you knew you were capable of scoring against anyone as well. So
that's quite it's quite interesting, because that was always my perception of St Johnstone, and it's quite good to hear that from the inside as well. Just like a team full of grafters, and they never seem to go away, you know. And it's testament to them. Obviously, Tommy Wright, there you were saying you worked under, and you've worked under a few managers from kind of maybe the more old school like him and Peter Houston to like Lee Miller, who's obviously got the finger on his pulse and the game, you know, having still, I think he's still in the books, isn't he, as a player?
Yeah.
Who's kind of like, under who have you enjoyed your best spell? I'm not saying like who's your favourite and who's the worst, but basically that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. To be fair, I only had Peter Houston for my last year at Falkirk, and so that was probably the best like football I played in terms of like best like team environment and just the way it went for us, like what we were expected of us that season and what we sort of went on to do was probably my best year. And he was really good. He was just one where, I mean, it was no nonsense, but it wasn't just like kick the ball to the park and chase after it. Like he wanted you to play as well. But he just told you how it was. There was no kind of, you went to speak to him, like, why was I not playing? He would just say, you've not done this, not done this, not done this. It was not kind of like hidden messages and sort of tricks and stuff, which is a nightmare, because you just want to know if you're not playing, you just want to be told what do I need to do, and if you do it, then you're going to be back in the team. And Tommy Wright, probably at the time, maybe never quite appreciated how good he was for me, like in my career, because he was very focused on the starting 11. It was almost every week, it was the starting 11, and if you were injured or not involved at times, it was sort of difficult to like feel as welcome like around the place. You sort of knew that he just wanted his starting element to be primed and ready for the Saturday, and everything went towards them. And I probably didn't quite appreciate that that's how he managed until maybe towards the end of my time when I was there. And probably looking back at it, I would have just settled a bit quicker probably if I'd sort of realised what it was all about. But I think my first year there, like we got finished fourth, we got into Europe. I think I played like 30 odd games, played like a lot of games for him.
I had a look at it actually, Blair, before you came on. I think that season, I think in total you played 42 games that 16-17 season. And see, when you look at it, there was boys that like Joe Shaughnessy played like 46, Craig 44, Graham Cummins 36, McLean 39. So like you said, did he just have an 11 or 12 that maybe one or two dropping out? And that was, like you said, that was his 11 come thick or thin type thing.
Nah, pretty much. I mean, at the time you never really felt like that's what it was. But look, it was like you kind of
maybe because you were in it.
Yeah, no, well, a lot of time I was, and I almost didn't feel like I was. And then it was at the end of the season, we had like a chat and stuff just about, because I'd always said like I wanted to play centrally, and I played a lot outright for him. And the way we played like a sort of 4-4-1-1, and Danny Swanson was like left mid for us, and he was kind of just allowed to go and do what he wanted. But he would always work hard as well, but because he could create anything, like, see, in a moment, like that year for us, he was unbelievable. So you didn't mind him not tracking back every so often, or like doing his sort of shift going the other way. And I remember speaking to the gaffer at the end and saying, like, I wanted to play centrally. I felt like I'd just done a job outright, but I could do so much more playing the middle. And he was like, well, you've played whatever it was, 40 games for me outright. Teams finished fourth, like, for like St Johnstone, what a successful season it was. And I was thinking, oh, do you know what? Maybe actually, like, sort of undermining myself and saying, no, actually, that's probably has been quite a good year for me, and maybe appreciating more, like, well, that was actually quite a good time in my career. But you always just feel like you can do more playing where you feel like you're sort of best suited. And that was probably the one where I maybe should have just, like, accepted that, well, I'm going to play it wide for him, but that's fine. I can just play away most of the season and try and do well out there.
Because you went from scoring, like you said, 10 the year before to 3 that season. It seemed you maybe didn't think of it at the time, but were you getting in your own head thinking, I'm not scoring as many here? Or did you put that down to playing wide or the step up? Or did you even think about it?
I probably never really thought about it in terms of how many I got the year before. But I remember going into every game, as I said, that last season at Falkirk, I was going into every game and I felt like I was going to score. And if I didn't score, I was like, oh, it's all right, I'll score next week. Where my first year, or just for since that point, pretty much, I've always felt like if I've not scored 3, 4, 5, it's like, I've not scored in a few weeks, like, hopefully get a chance. And it probably doesn't affect you that much in the game. It's probably more afterwards and sort of during the week and things, you say, like, oh, I could really do with scoring a goal, like, just to give you that wee, like, boost again. And I think as a team, we didn't score that many goals. As I say, like, we won a lot of games 1-0. It wasn't like a team that would go and win sort of 2-3-0. And as I say, I spoke to the manager about that as well, and he said, like, look, I'm not expecting you to come up and score 15 goals for us. But it was, like, in my head when I first went there, I probably naively thought, I'll just carry this on and keep doing it. But it's a massive step up, and I probably did just struggle to sort of create as many chances, or as a team, we probably struggled to create as many chances as I'd been getting sort of the year before. So.
I'm assuming that is obviously your favourite position, you know, centrally, and obviously I've seen you make good late runs, score some good goals, arriving late in the box, and you're obviously a danger from around the box. You scored a few bangers for sure. Always kind of, I was going to say, like, when you're playing in the middle, what kind of players do you like playing alongside you? Because I think with the current Falkirk team, I think you've got such a good balance, because you and Gomez, like, complement yourself so well. Like, he tends to sit and you can go forward, and you've also got that in you that he sometimes likes to wander forward himself, and you're happy to sit. So is that the kind of midfielder that you like playing alongside?
Yeah, probably. I think I think as long as I'm allowed license to get forward, I don't mind who's playing with me, and I don't mind sometimes sitting as well. Like you say, I don't mind it. Sort of one goes one time, the next one somebody else goes. I probably, not often have I had to do it, but a few times where I've been asked to play sort of as a deep one, but just be a deep line fielder. And I wouldn't say I don't enjoy it. It's just I don't think it gets the best out of me. I think that one of the best attributes of my game is sort of late runs and getting in behind defences. I've always said, like, as a midfielder, the worst thing to do is to follow a runner, like, going back the way. It's horrible. So I always like to try and do that and make it difficult. So if I'm the one that's sort of just sitting, I find it a bit kind of, I'm always looking back the way where I feel like I can affect it more going forward. So anyone that sort of allows me to get forward at times is what I like to play with. I mean, whether that's in like a 2 or a 3, it's kind of, it doesn't really make too much difference, as I say, as long as I'm allowed sort of a wee bit of license to get forward.
But after St Johnstone, obviously a successful time here, you then made the move over to Hamilton for a season. How did you find that?
It was good. It was a totally different environment again. It was a club that, obviously not like a massive budget and didn't really carry a massive squad either. And the whole thing was just about staying up, and it was a completely different environment because almost every point was celebrated like a win, and it didn't really matter sort of who you were playing. We played Hearts, obviously we never thought that was a team we were going to be sort of challenging for to stay up, but played them at Tynecastle quite early on and drew 2 each. I think it was two each or 1 each, but drew anyway.
And I remember coming
back in the changing room after it, and it was like, the music was on and everyone was happy, and like the chairman and stuff were all down in the changing room sort of like celebrating it. I'd actually signed at the same time as like Brian Easton, who had played with St Johnstone. And me and him were sort of looking at each other a bit like, obviously it's a good result, but it's not quite like music on, celebrating, like getting ready to go out type thing. So, but that's just the way they do it. And it's, to be fair, it's brilliant, because when you got a bad result, they could so quickly sort of put it behind you and just go, right, that's fine, we're going with, like, you know, as a club like that, you're going to lose a lot of games in a season, but you just need to make sure you win a few more. And that was what we did, is that we just, you get a bad result and then you go, right, regroup Monday, out the head, basically, like, talk about it, and then you go again the Saturday. And it's probably what they've had for the past so many years that kept them in the league, because they just have that mentality where, all right, we're going to have a bad result here, but we'll get a good one next weekend and put it right, basically.
How did you
Something that I always find quite funny about Hamilton is that they seem to change players quite a lot, but still, whenever they're in the position of maybe getting relegated, everyone goes, oh, Hamilton have been here before, so they can get themselves away for this and they won't go down. And it seems even if there's a whole new squad, they're still saying, oh, Hamilton won't go down. Yeah. Do you think that's just the myth of Hamilton? When, like you say, you go and you say, I will not go down, we'll not be in bother. Like, what is it? Because it's a brand new squad.
We used to use that all the time. We used to say that, like, people don't know what it's like to be here, but we do. And we would be joking about it with each other, saying, I don't know what it's like. Like, we've never been down here before. Do you know what I mean? It's just like the squad mentality, basically, where you go, nah, like, we'll be fine. And they almost tell you about it, because everyone at the club has that sort of mentality. It's like they know that they're doing so well, they're overachieving, and they like buzz off it as well. And I think that it just gets passed on to you. It's like you turn up and you just, it's almost like, because I remember we went down to Largs for pre-season, which I was raging about, because for the past like 4 years they've been in Marbella, and then we got a new manager, and when I signed we ended up in Largs for 3 days or so. But I remember down there we'd had like a big presentation about like where we wanted to finish and like how we were going to go about it and stuff, and it was all about just, as long as we just do better than last year, then we'll be all right. I think the year before they must have finished 10th or something. I think they just stayed up. He's like, if we do better than that, then we're doing all right. And it was all about like each game as it comes and all the usual things, and sort of take each game and like basically as much as you can, basically just try and pick up any point where possible. And we're going through it, and then at one point it was like asking people who they thought would finish, and I think the average of the squad was like, ah, we can finish 7th and we can challenge top to like get top 6, but probably like 7th is like quite a big achievement and stuff. And then you go into the first game of season thinking, right, like, oh, we're going to finish 7th and we're going to do this and we're going to win all these games, and we got beat 3-0 off Ross County and we barely touched the ball. It was like we got battered off Ross County. You're thinking, they just got promoted and we've just been given a hiding, basically, way up there, and you're sort of panicking. But then it is like on the Monday, it's like, right, well, we forget about that and we go on the next one. And I think we beat Kilmarnock, who'd finished whatever they finished the year before, 2-0 at home. And you're like, oh, what's happened here? We just went from the worst team in the league to looking like a decent side. And that's just what we've done all season. And I think it's probably what they've done for the, like, so many seasons. I mean, I think the first year they came up from the Championship, I think they were flying. I think they won their first like 7 games or something like that. But since then, they are just a team that they just win enough games that keep them up, and they seem to keep doing it. And it's one that everyone writes them off every year, and they just find a way to sort of keep doing it.
How did you find that change in mindset going for St Johnstone, where you're used to winning the majority of games and a draw is maybe a bad result at home, to going to Hamilton, like you say, and losing a few? Because I know a couple of boys in at Hamilton, and I remember speaking to them that summer you signed, and I remember them saying, like, by the way, Blair Olsen's absolutely flying in training, like, he's like head and shoulders, like, he's looking brilliant. So you've went for St Johnstone and Hamilton, where you're one of the most important players when you signed, and like, as I say, but a totally different mindset. How was that?
To be fair, for me it was hard, because I tend to find that it takes me like a couple of months to properly like settle myself in and feel like really confident being somewhere, and then go and like show them sort of like my best form. And just as like I started to feel like really good and settled there, I got like an injury that I was out for like 2 months or something like that, with just like an issue with my knee. And then coming back into the team, it wasn't that we weren't doing well, it was just we went like a wee run just before Christmas where we lost a few games, and then we lost to St Johnstone just after Christmas, and then we played Motherwell on like the New Year's Day game, or just before New Year's Day, and we beat them. And there was like kind of a feeling about the club, like, right, that's a massive win for us, but after New Year we need to like regroup and go again. And we just never quite clicked like after New Year, and I never really clicked, to be fair. I never really performed how I was. I never really got back to as good as I felt like I had been at the start of the season. So it was difficult that way, because I felt like when I went there, I felt like, right, I'm going to go here and just have a really good season, play every week, because that's kind of what I'd been told, was like, you're going to go and be a big player for us. And I think that I sort of struggled a wee bit with coming back from injury and not being at those levels where I'm like, wait, now I should be impacting these games here. And then we played St Mirren away, which was like a massive game for us, and I never played. I came back, I think I played the first 3 games when I came back from injury, and then we played like a Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. One of them was a Scottish Cup game. And then I never played the midweek game against St Mirren. I'm like, well, wait, I came here to play a big part in like the big games, and that was a big game for us. And I never played, and I was like, I was a bit thinking like, well, if I'm not playing here, like, what am I actually doing? And I struggled like that way. But as I say, then it started to feel good again. That's when like lockdown hit, and like the whole thing's over again. So it was difficult. Like it is a different mentality. But I think I've always felt like if I'm doing well, like the team, I don't know. I've always felt like teams have been how I've been. So if I always feel like I'm playing well, I don't know if that means I only play well in good teams or if I make teams good. But one way or the other, I feel like when it's going well for me, I always feel like there's wins coming, there's things are happening and stuff. Where that sort of thing for me, it just wasn't really clicking. And it's probably the first time in my career where I've had like a spell of like a couple of months where injury, and then a few like months of not playing very well, where I was a bit like, well, this isn't really quite clicking for me. And then obviously just that, like right off the back of that, was lockdown, which was pretty tough as well. So
it's quite a unique club, haven't it, isn't it? Because they dig up boys like Big Ogunpo and stuff, like he's like, what is it, Greek Cypriot, and then they get boys in like Gogic, and but they come in and do shifts. I remember it might have been that 2 each game at Tynecastle. Ogunpo had an absolute blinder. Like it was unplayable, like, but he's came from nowhere. So sometimes you must have seen boys walking in the door and being like, I've got no idea who this boy is, but they've turned out to be decent, eh?
We used to set up, as I say, like me and Brian Easton, when we signed, we were like, we played them, I think, 4 times the year before, and they had like a different squad every time you played them. I was like, how are you doing that, like, during the season? It's like, they honestly just produced players from anywhere. And they said that, they were like, there was always boys coming in on trial and they'd stay for a bit. And I think they had like a couple of flats in Hamilton where boys would come for like a week and then they would either sign them or whatever, they'd come back. But that's what it was like. We had like some crazy turnaround of players that probably people never even seen. They maybe even played like one game or something. You're like, where did he come from and disappeared again?
Because I'm sure they had like Fjortoft, and then Sam Stubbs came up and had a blinder, didn't he? And then he went back alone, and the big boy Woods came in, and then like Johnny Hunt. And it was just like boys that were just, because I do scouting and I'm like, right, this is a Hamilton, and they're saying, what's the predicted 11? I'm like,
we didn't know. We didn't know it. That was like, when I talked about Tommy Wright, like he had like an 11 that he wanted to play. Like that year, I just felt like you could, people could be playing different positions as well. It was like sometimes you felt like you're going to play like right wing in a 4-3-3, and the next week you'd be playing centre half. And it was like the weirdest thing ever. It seemed to work. Like he was, as like a manager, he was like, he just loved football. He would like go and watch like under 23 games on a Tuesday afternoon after training. He would then drive up and go and watch Sun at night, and then he'd go all over the place like watching it, and he was complete football. So whenever you spoke to him, he was just so like passionate about football. And I think that he probably would say like his like first like time as management that he found like that sort of struggle difficult, because he's like a coach, like he wants to take everything and train and he wants to do it. But we had the boy Bougelin that had been at Hibs like as a player as assistant manager, and his coaching was brilliant, like his training, that he was so enthusiastic. But the manager wanted to take a lot of it as well, because like that's what he was like, and his training was really good as well. But the two of them were like almost wrestling for like I want to do this, I want to take control of it. And that was a bit different. But in terms of players, it was so much change. But also you kind of, it was like a really good squad. Like you got on with everyone, was like just like good guys. Like it was one of those that you enjoyed being around it and stuff. So it wasn't sort of difficult in that regard. It was just constant change. And I think we've got with injuries a lot as well, with players at different times. And I think there was a game we went into, and I think there was like 6 of us that were in the like media room like watching it. And like I'm saying, I know we changed the team a lot, but there was 6 boys that you're thinking like, well, if they're fit, like they all start. And we're a team like that, we couldn't really cope with that like for too long. So
he's attacking, eh? Because see, going to watch, he always tried to play 2 up top. And I remember maybe it was that game you didn't play actually at St Mirren. Somebody got sent off early doors, and instead of taking a striker off, he's took like Mimna off or something and kept 2 up top. And yeah, like sometimes Luton, you're just thinking, he's are open, but he wants to score, doesn't he, and go forward.
He always said that he was like, if you go out in a game and you're just trying not to get beat, he's like, it's so much harder than if you go out in a game and try and win it. That was like his big thing, was that he's like, if you go out and try and win it, if you go and score, then you've got something to hold on to. If you're going out just trying not to concede, then it's like, it's really hard and you're constantly backs against the wall. And I mean, there was times, obviously, we struggled with it as well. Like, as I say, we went to places and didn't get results, but we also like went to Ibrox and beat Rangers. Like just before the split, there was the time. I mean, we generally thought, like, you always say, like, we can get out of this. And you didn't really know lockdown was coming, but you kind of knew something was happening. And I think we were either joint bottom of hearts or we were close anyway. And then there's a stat that was at the club for a few years. I think they hadn't won 2 league games in a row for like 3 years or something. It was like an incredible stat. Like, they just couldn't win back to back games. And then we went and beat Rangers at Ibrox, then Kilmarnock at home, who were like doing all right that time as well, just out of nothing. And then obviously the league shuts down and they managed to stay up out of like just pure like timing, but then also getting yourself in a good position at a good time.
I think it was that week, wasn't it, where you beat Rangers and Kelly, and then Obika scored to beat Hearts, and that dropped their points per game and bumped yours up. Then, like you say, it was called and it's unreal, man. Only ammo in it.
Yeah, that's what the, there was a. We then had like a slideshow, and it was about like what, because obviously nobody knew what it was at that time. Like nobody had a clue what COVID was going to be, and we done this like presentation, and it was like, like this, just like joking about it. And it's like, this is what it's going to do, and it's going to be like Independence Day, and everyone's going to be destroyed. And then it just put it at the bottom, like, apart from Hamilton, who will survive because they survive everything. And it's like, that's what it was. It's just, as I say, like the club mentality, we're like, we'll be all right, like, whatever's going to happen then. And league shut down.
Was that one of your, when you beat Rangers, was that one of your goals against Rangers? You said that's something that's followed you throughout your career a wee bit. Is there a stat there?
I think I'm not entirely sure it's definite, but I'm sure I've scored more goals against Rangers than I've scored against any other club, which is just probably quite weird for, I'm not saying I've scored hundreds of goals, but it was one that just, my first goal for St Johnstone was against Rangers. And I remember like at the time them saying, oh, you've scored against, because I'd scored against them at Falkirk before. Both happened to be like good goals as well. So it's like, if you score, people always say it doesn't matter if you score like a worldie or you score a tap-in, and it's like, it's true, you don't care, but you get a lot more attention because your goal gets played a lot more and it's in highlight reel and those kind of stuff, so you see it more. So I'd scored like a really good goal against them for Falkirk, and a really good goal against them, my first one for St Johnstone, and we played them again, I think it was the next year. I scored like another like really good goal against them, and it's like, then you just get labelled with, oh, you scored against Rangers all the time. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's like four. It's not as if I've scored 20 goals against them or something, but it just feels like it got like stuck with me. But I just done, it was a club where, like growing up, obviously you knew how sort of like big and successful, and it's always Rangers and Celtic, and that's what everyone talks about in Scotland. But just over the times when I've played against them, it just always felt like more often than not, you had like a chance against them. And I mean, I've been beat 6-0 off them as well. I think I've lost 5-0 and 20. It's not as if it was one of those where you felt like you're going to win every time you played them, but just more occasions against them than I've had against Celtic. I think I've only got 2 draws against Celtic or something, and that's it. The same, probably similar amount of games. But Rangers were just one that seemed to just have better experiences against.
Moving away from the glitz and glam of the Old Firm, back to League One. Just before we get on to your best 11, which obviously might include some more SPL players, but the fans might be interested to know, because they obviously follow you all to all these different stadiums as well. What's your sort of best and worst lower league ground experiences? Greg was saying last week that he's fond of the old school grounds, like your Somerset Parks and Clifton Hill. He likes the romance of those kind of pitches. What about yourself?
No. I listened when he said that, and he's like, he quite enjoys going. To be fair, Ayr's a good stadium. It's quite a nice stadium. It's like a proper like old school stadium, but it's all right. But sometimes you turn up at places and like Albion Rovers and like Cowden, places like that, and it's like just the change rooms are like so small. I just can't believe like how you expected to get a team of 20 bodies in there with like a team talk stuff. Like
Kent, a big team as well, big Salmon and
yeah, I know, you've got bodies everywhere.
Downs and all that.
Have you seen the Montrose this year? Because their change room's tiny in it as well.
Like, yeah, but see, obviously because this year I've not been in them. So I've been to Montrose before and been in the change room. It's like one of the small ones. But like this year it's been weird because you've been to like Partick, Montrose, teams like that, and you've been in like a director's box, and it's like just like being in a house basically. It's weird. It's just like it's carpet everywhere and just big long corridors. But I'm trying to, like, some obviously the better stadiums are in terms of like the size and things like that, but the ones I like enjoy, like Tynecastle is my favourite stadium. It's the one that I enjoy playing at the most, because it just feels like properly on top of you. And it's like, if you're playing there in like big games and stuff, the year they won the championship, they hadn't won, they hadn't lost at home. I don't think they'd lost a game actually, they hadn't lost at home anyway. And we beat them there with Falkirk, but it was like, we went 2-1 up and you're thinking, right, you've got a wee chance here. And then they equalised 2-each, and you just couldn't hear anything for like 10 minutes after. It was just like boys were shouting, and you just couldn't hear a word, because it was just, they just had this like this roar coming over the stadium. I thought, that's incredible. Like, just would love to play for like a club like that, thinking like, what's this atmosphere like? But then again, like, you go, like, obviously more often than not, because of where I've played in football, like games at the Falkirk Stadium I've always really enjoyed, because people always say it's like, it's soulless because it's only got the 3 stands and if you're away at wide, you don't get any atmosphere and stuff. But the games like that, the good year that we had before, like I left and it was against Hibs and games like against Rangers and the league and stuff, and it was like the place was packed, the atmosphere was like quality. So I think a lot of time you just, your favourite and least favourite stadiums are probably where you've played well and not played well. So I think a lot of time you're going to stadiums and it's a small change room, and if you've not had like success and stuff as well, you're a bit like, don't really enjoy that too much. But now some of them are not as bad, but as I say, like Cowdenbeath and Albion Rovers, ones like that, not so nice.
The quality set up.
I've seen like the photos down south where they've got the small changing rooms and they show it as like, oh, this is a mind games thing, so everyone's crammed on top of each other. You just know up here in some of the stadium, that's not a mind game thing, it's just the facilities.
That's just like Hearts, when I played them, we were at Hamilton, obviously they just moved to like the built the new like stand, put new stadium in. But that Tynecastle used to be quite a small changing room. It had like a pillar in it, so you couldn't really get the physio bed in and stuff. It was a bit like awkward. And then they've obviously put new change rooms in the away dressing rooms. Massive. It's like the nicest thing ever. It's a big, huge dressing room, and you've got your own private, like we do kit, and there's a big changing room bit around the corner and stuff. And you turn up and you're like, this is lovely. And it's like, then they got relegated. So maybe rethink that. Maybe they should go back to the small dressing room again.
Will we round up then, Blair, with your best 11 you've played with? I've already got Scotty Martin in the holding position, so called it around that.
It's hard always at best 11 because it's like you try to like think back of your career of like the best players you've played with, but also like who's been best at times when I've played with them. So I've probably played with maybe players that are either better or worse than what I've like put down, but at the same time, you sort of remember good players for big moments they've had in seasons or when you felt like they've really sort of done well for you. I'll kick up my goalie. I had down Michael McGovern from the time when I was at Falkirk with him.
I was flying on
it. He was honestly, like, I couldn't believe how good he was. The amount of points he's like got us that season was incredible, because it was just like the amount of times when players were going through one-on-one, they just saved it all the time. And it's like, for years, I generally felt like I hadn't played a bad goalkeeper, because the ones at Falkirk had like him, Jamie McDonald, Danny Rogers, is it like Kelly now? Yeah. Like, all done really well. And then I went to St Johnston, it was like Al Manis and Xander Clark were fighting for it, and the two of them were brilliant as well. And in training, you're thinking, I don't even know which one of these is better here. And it was like lucky, but Mick was one that just like that, like the year when he was there, the like last year before he left, I think he went to like Hamilton first before going to Norwich, but he was ridiculous, like he was so good.
Did he go to the Euros when he was without a club? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Nah, that was
just before he signed for Norwich, maybe.
Yeah, he was lined up to go, or not lined up, but like there was talk of going to Aberdeen because he'd had like a good couple of years at Hamilton. But he went to the Euros just as a free agent, and I think it was something like, I don't know, he got in like team of the tournament, and there was a game against Germany where he maybe lost in the end, but I think he made like 10 saves in the game or something. So just got like so much media talk from it, and then went to Norwich after it. So.
Are you playing a 4-4-2,
Blair? I went 4-3-3.
Are you playing?
Which I've actually not played that much in my career, but I was just trying to like fit boys in where they would go. So,
have you got yourself out?
No, I left myself out. I wouldn't get my team of the year. I've played the better players than me, so that's it.
There's plenty of folk telling Greg on Twitter he wouldn't get in his either, but he's plonked himself up front in his. So fair play to you first.
He made himself skipper and takes the corners as well, probably. So,
go kick.
Takes the corners and
I went Richard Foster, even though that was probably one of the closest ones, because when I first broke through Falkirk, I played a lot with the boy Kieran Duffy that's at Clyde now. And he was honestly like amazing. See, when he first broke in, he was incredible. Unreal, and he was one of the ones that's like, if he never got injured, he'd want to have like a better career. He was like an athlete, like just up and down all the time, creating chances, like those ones that he scored off his deliveries all the time, but just injuries killed him. I think he started like obviously having, he went down part time and stuff, but it was just, and he was like done in on the AstroTurf, and it just set him back so much. But like, he was a joke to start with, but like Fozzie was like a really good player. Fozzie, like, probably still is a really good player as well, actually. But when I played him, he was one that you felt comfortable with him at right back, but you just knew nobody was really going to get past him easily. He was fast. He kind of had like all you want from a fullback as well. Like, apart from maybe a bit angry at times, but he was good to play with.
Had Dave Mackay retired when you went to St Johnson? Because I think a lot of folk talk well of him, but did you just miss him? Or was he injured? Or?
I missed. I signed and he'd been out for like a while, and he was still like registered as a player, but he retired like as I got there, basically. I never played like a game with him. He was in the changing room for like the first couple of weeks, and then I think he just said that like his body couldn't really hack anyone. I think it was his hip or something. That's eventually that, that ruled him out. But yeah, everyone there spoke like so highly, and they said like he was like the classic where he could be 7 out of 10 every week, like kind of steady. And my left back was another St Johnston one, but that was the boy Brian Easton, who probably played more centre half for Hamilton since he's went there. As a left back, when I couldn't believe he could move. Like, we used to joke about it because we used to get a body fats taken every sort of like couple of months, and his was always like on the edge where you thought like you need to watch it. And they were constantly monitoring his weight. He got weighed every week, like Monday morning. And it was like, you're thinking, oh, Eastie, like, you're touch and go here, you're close. And then he would just go and play, and he could bomb up and down the wing. And I'm like, how can you possibly run? Like, you just look like you couldn't move. And he was fit. Just had, like, a proper, like, left wand, proper, like, really good left foot. And he was, like, really good. That was, again, another one for probably players I played at Falkirk, left backs, probably better to do better. The boy Luke Lee, I played, who's like one of my good mates, he's down at Bristol Rovers now. He went down south and done really well since he went down there. And then Kingsley, who's now like back at Hearts, obviously went down to Swansea and like done really well down at Hull and stuff as well. But they two that, again, just like really good, proper attacking fullbacks, like one of those bombing forward all the time.
Had Easton been to Burnley and back up by then, aye?
Yeah, so when I was at St George's, he'd back up for a couple of years still, we feel, but.
Right.
I obviously went down, and he said that he found it tough down there. I don't know if it was like the physicality or what it was, but he said like just never really got going as much down there as what he had been up here. But he's like a good player. He's one for Hamilton as well. You notice, well, I've noticed quite a lot as well. Like when he comes back in the team, they've had a lot better results. Basically, I think he's a good player for them. Like, what did I have? My two set half had Joe Shaughnessy, who. Well, basically, my two set has had Joe Shaughnessy and Stephen Anderson, who were the two that I played with the first year at St Johnston. And it was probably that was part of the reason why it's like basically a full St Johnston back four, but just because that was the team that I really felt like they just didn't lose goals. Like good players knew what it was like to keep clean sheets, win games, capable of scoring goals in it as well. Ando, like Steve Anderson, is the moaniest guy in the world, like just Mr. Negative. But like when you're playing with him, you could just you hear his voice for the full game, and then after that, he's just the nicest guy. Like just would chat away, good laugh and that, and then hear him on the pitch, and you're like, I can't bother speaking to you anymore. So,
mate, why does he do that hang with his sleeves where he like pulls on and then folds? It's so annoying. Just could watch.
See, pre-season.
And the shorts go up as well.
It's so annoying to watch, man.
We went to. Austria for pre-season, and it was like decent weather, like nice weather, and he wears jogging trousers, like training wise he wears jogging trousers and like long football socks with them tucked in and a jumper every day for training. Doesn't matter like what, it was about 30 degrees and I'm like pale as any and I'm sweating, like I was burning, and he's cutting about with joggy bottoms tucked into socks and a big jumper on, and I'm thinking this guy's like the weird guy, like, but the really, really good player. I couldn't believe how fit he was as well. Because when I signed, the joke was like how old he looks. Because I signed, and he must have been like 29 or 30 maybe. But I thought he was about 35. I was like, he must be like done in soon. And I got put in his group for the running at the start. Him and Chris Miller, who again I knew was older, but like a bit smaller than that. And I thought, like, I'm gonna piss this year basically. And they took off, and the two of them are the fittest guys in the world. And Ando, like. Ando used to do like rehab. Sometimes I'd been injured at the same time as him, and you know, like the altitude mask you get that like make you sound like Bane when you breathe out of them. He used to just wear them for like fun. He would just do like a big run, and he'd put the altitude mask on just because he's like, oh, makes it tough. Like, you're not right in the head, like.
Good player, but his short sleeves are one of my biggest annoyances in Scottish football. Man, either wear short sleeves or roll them, like have them down. Do you know what I mean? That irritates me.
He wouldn't. He hated it. Like it was one. Even seeing training, that's why I think he always had a jumper on, because he wouldn't wear. Like we just had normal short sleeve tops. He wouldn't wear them. He's like, nah. He used to be like rolled up properly around the elbows. He's just to slag everyone as well for like not wearing black boots. It was like, if anyone didn't have black boots on, he was like, what are you wearing for? Just get a pair of copas or just get a pair of something. Just like total old school guy. Like,
Jamie's injured for Forfar, because what a back three that would be with him, White and Travis, eh?
Yeah. Well, I thought, see, when they signed him, was it actually a big difference for them?
Aye. When he came in at Rafe, it was the same, eh? I can't remember if it was last season. He unfortunately got injured, but what a difference he made instantly at that level, you know?
He's a proper leader type centre half, like one of those that just he's not really that big, but he's really good in the air as well, proper dominant as well, aggressive, but actually decent enough on the ball as well. He used to hit people at free kicks at wobble. He would do that in training and then we played Tarts one time. And I think we're getting beat 2-0. And the boy Dimitri Mitchell, mind him, that came up from
The winger, Man United.
Man United, aye.
He scored a world at this and did wobble mad in the top corner. Then we got a free kick up the other end and Ando's stepped up to take it and we're thinking, not sure it's the time you practice one of them. And he's shanked it right into the wall. Honestly, they've counter-attacked, both the other end, they've cleared out for a corner or something, and you just seen the manager just red mist descend, screaming at him. Because Ando was quite such a big character, he would just argue back with the manager, I think. See if the manager shouted at somebody else in the team, they just didn't say anything. They just went all right, okay, whatever, quiet. You shouted at Ando and Ando would just tell him to shut up and run about and that. So
how good Shaughnessy as well, because I thought he's maybe a wee bit underrated. I didn't expect him necessarily to turn up at St Mirren after the potential to go where he could have gone.
Mm-hmm. He was brilliant in the full time. He played almost every game. Even with Ando towards the end of my time there, was getting a wee bit older, just a wee bit phased out, and they started playing the boy Jason Kerr, who's been playing, is their captain in that now. But Joe played all the time, and I thought he was brilliant. He turned down Aberdeen because he wanted to try something new because he'd been up there before, and then ended up down at Southend, just kind of, not quite a last minute deal, but I think the season's had started and he thought, right, I need to take something, and went down there. And I think that they just struggled a bit, and he probably just never really done as well as he liked them there. I think they either sacked the manager or then got a new manager halfway through it and stuff. He just said it was a wee bit disjointed, and then I came back up here. But I know somebody that knows Jim Goodwin, and he was saying that they're saying how lucky they've been to get him back up. But that's how they rate him. So
he's got the armband already, I think, isn't he? He's captain already.
Yeah, a really good player. He's one as well that was a really nice guy, but could get the red mist if he was going as well. He's aggressive, strong as well, but also sometimes he was flying at attack when you thought, oh, he's a wee bit risky. I think he's probably two red cards or something already this season, probably sums it up. But,
I got a bad one at one of the games. He's absolutely smashed somebody. I think he's a Ross County player. He's done that one. Who have you got in your midfield then?
Midfield three of Craig Sybald, because my time at Falkirk as well, he was loved by the fans. They absolutely buzz off him, but he was that wee bit special for us as well. Sort of created a few magic moments in that, one of those kind of players that popped up big goals, created big opportunities for us, and was just, for somebody that was quite small and thin and stuff as well, just used his body so well. We never really noticed him getting bullied off the ball, even though if you looked at him, you just felt you could throw him about. But he just never really let you. He was always kind of used his body so well, really low centre gravity, could dribble past people for fun, kind of left the ball right in front of you to the last minute and then would just nick it away. And probably was one that everyone thought was going to go on to do even better than he has done, because he was rated so highly at the time, but obviously went on to have a decent career now, still playing at a good level and a really good player.
He had a decent game tonight, actually. He's added work rate to his game, I think. I don't know what he was like to play for Falkirk, but I've noticed in the last season or so, he's added against the ball, he's added that element to his game a wee bit.
Yeah, we probably used him a lot as I wouldn't say a luxury player, but he was always allowed to just kind of go and do his own thing. He was looked at more offensively, of dribbling at people and getting past people, where I think he's probably better than that. He's probably better on the ball, a good passer of the ball and stuff, but I probably developed a lot more of that. The way Livingston played as well, he's probably had to be a bit more nasty against the ball, where at times at Falkirk, because we were always a challenging team at the top, he probably got to be a bit more.
I think first 6 months at Livy was kind of in and out, maybe until he got his head round back that he needed to do the dirty.
That's the same what I'm saying about myself. It's you go through times where you almost develop by just playing different ways in different teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's probably benefited him a lot this year as well, or the last couple of years being up there. I put Liam Craig in my centre mid as well, because I feel if he watches this and he wasn't in it, he's the kind of person that would phone me like every day saying like, can't believe you're not putting in. But also like really good career, really good player. We used to joke about him saying like he could just run forever, like really, really fit guy, but he only had one pace and it was like pretty slow. That was like his one pace. So we'd do like long distance running and he'd be like right at the front. He's just like cruising around and you're thinking, oh, this guy's like fit as anything. But you do like a 10-yard sprint and he's still like 3 yards behind and you're like, wait now, like how slow are you? But good player.
One of those passing, eh?
Yeah, like really, he suited when I played him at St Johnstone, he suited the way we played a lot. Like he knew when to just turn the ball on a channel, but it was never just like big smash away. Like because his left foot was like really good. So he could put it in like decent areas, but he also knew when to take a touch, when he could play it from the back and stuff. He probably played a lot, either like left side, if I was playing right side, we used to call ourselves like the holding wingers because that's what it was like. We played a 4-4-2, but just like tucking in to make sure everyone else was behind the ball. But he was like proper utility player as well, like probably why he plays so many games, or has played so many games. And even now, like when I left, he probably was thinking as well, he's like, I'm not really sure how many like years he's got at St John's at that kind of level playing all the time. But even obviously they just went and won the cup on Saturday, whenever it was Sunday. And he went and like played 90 minutes in a game like that and stuff as well. So something that probably he never even thought he would keep doing at this stage and still carrying on now. But just shows you he's not lost.
When he was there? Or did you miss each other when he was at
the missed each other there, yeah. That's another thing as well. It was like when I was at Falkirk before he signed at St Johnstone after he'd left Hibs, he was going to almost come back to Falkirk. He was in training and stuff and managed to like go and impress at St Johnstone and get like a deal. And I think from there, he just managed to like bed himself in. And I think they rate him really highly as like a coach as well. So he'll probably go on to do something coaching wise around there as well. So, you know, midfielder is Chris Miller, who I spoke about just a minute ago there, but just couldn't get the ball off him. Like, seeing training and that, even in games, just he wanted it with people around him, but you just couldn't tackle him. It's annoying picking him as well because he loves talking about himself. Like, he generally thinks he's the best player in the world, and it's like, it generally bothers me that I'm having to put him in my team, but like, he was that good. And I even played him as well towards like, I don't even know if he's still playing now when he's at like Morton, that, but I felt like, or he felt like it was coming to like towards the end of his career. So I'd love to see what he was like when he was like a wee bit younger, a bit fitter and stuff, because I think his body was just kind of like shutting down on him a bit, like a few injuries and niggly stuff and that. So I never quite probably seen like the best of him, but seeing just somebody that, again, like similar to what I'm saying about Sybil, there's like, he was small. He felt like you were going to get like the ball off him a lot, be able to like move him around and, I don't know, he would like show you the ball, but then whenever you went to actually try and nick it, he was just getting his body in places and winning fouls and that. Like, technically a really good player. Not one, he wasn't one that would ever go and, you know, like play a through ball and set up. Never really scored. I don't know if he scored ever when I played up, but like never really scored many goals. But games when we done really well against bigger teams, it was always when he done well. It was like games at Ibrox stuff and you need to go and keep the ball for 2-3 passes. He was one that you could give him it and he would just keep it, and you felt confident giving him it, no matter who was around them. So,
I just checked the time you were there; he never scored one. So,
he was one that he's not scored for 3 years, but he'd tell you about the goal he scored 4 years ago. Like that was his thing, and it was like games and that as well. He would shout. I think it was like a kind of the way he coped with like pressure in a game. It's like he would just shout at you stuff that didn't even like necessarily make sense. He'd like shout at you saying like, ah, like make sure you're concentrating, but you'd be like, the ball would be out of play or something. It's like no reason to concentrate, but he just used to speak. And as well, but like it was funny, so everyone slagged him for being like small, but like he generally thought he was the best looking guy in the world as well. He was like, he thought he was the best player and the best looking guy ever. And he used to always talk about it, but he was a really good player, like really, really good footballer.
It sounds well, like quite the midfield with him and William Craig, quite a lot of chatter going on in there.
Nah, to be fair, when I look back at it and I think about it, like they'd probably get run over, the three of them, because there's not really like at St Johnstone probably when they two have played and done well, so they've played with like either Murray Davidson or something like that. That's a bit more like nails about him. So, but Muzz was one as well when I played with them that I probably never seen the best of him again. They got injured at like times and stuff as well. And what he was really good at, he was so aggressive in the air going forward and like defensively. He was like a proper, like a million tackles a game and stuff, but probably not quite technically as good as like the other three that are put in basically. But I think I don't know if he got captain of Scotland, but he's certainly in squads and that before I signed and stuff. So I think he's a player that like they like obviously really like.
I think he was close to a move to Rangers, wasn't he? And he got an injury and he's missed the final there because injury, and he missed the Scottish Cup, I think, because injury as well. So yeah. I think it's just injuries that's held him back. It's the way he plays, so he's a million miles an hour and he throws himself into everything, doesn't he? So he's always putting himself out there, get or not.
Yeah.
So see, your strikers, you're going three central or are you going two wide with one through the middle?
I've went sort of one through the middle with like two wide, but none of them would probably like playing wide. They probably all want to play in different positions, but it's just the way it's had to like be fit in. To be fair, one of them would play, I started like my left-sided one, I went with Danny Swanson, and that was because my first year at St Johnstone, he was unplayable for us. He was the kind of player that, again, like when I'm talking about like fitness-wise, they were always on it, we're trying to be fitter, they wanted him to do extra training. He only got fit through playing games. He wouldn't do any running. He wouldn't try at training. He would just like one of those that he would, unless he could be really bothered, but like barely ever. He just used to like cut about the place and stuff. And you thought, if you just turned up to watch training, you'd think he'd just turned up for a day, like just because he just never really cared. And then whenever he went to a game, as I say, particularly that my first season there, he was unplayable. The amount of times scoring like out of nothing, scored countless goals at the start of the season as well. Hit like, I think he was on something like 12 goals or something. I think he had six of them penalties, but he just couldn't miss and just. One of those players where that wee bit like magic. I've probably not played with too many players, but I generally felt like you could give them the ball and they would just go and do something. Mm-hmm. But he was one like that. Our team was literally built around like hard work, and then it was like give the ball to Swanee, like Swanee will create something. And then at times when he did it, it wasn't like he was lazy. He just worked for himself, but not in like a selfish way. He would work hard chasing down like sort of lost causes at times, but only knowing that if he nicked it, he was going to get a chance. It wasn't like, I mean, I'm not saying he would never track back. It wasn't like he just stood up front and left us to do everything, but he was a player you kind of let do what he wanted because you knew when he got the ball, he was doing something. And as I say, especially the first probably 6-7 months of that season, he was unplayable. Like.
Decent. Who are you shoehorning into the graveyard shift on the right then?
I put Rory Loy on the graveyard shift on the right because he was more of like a runner in terms of like he was happy to run channels. He was one of those, but I think he played probably up front on his own a bit more of the time when I played with him. But I think something like 20 odd goals he got the first year. Obviously, when he went away, it never quite worked out. I think him and Hartley had issues and they never really quite seen eye to eye. Then obviously, he came back to Falkirk and then Hartley came back, and I think that probably never helped him as well. So, probably never went on to have quite the career after like his time at Falkirk that he maybe should have, because he was like a real top player. One as well that was like I was felt like really underrated at like his actual ability on the ball. I mean, he was a proper like workhorse in terms of like was run channels and he'd like do the sort of dirty side of the game, but technically like really good hold up player, like a top finisher as well. I think he said
must still be relatively young here, but is it jerked it? Because he was at Dumbarton I think last, wasn't he?
Yeah. He got like I think he had issues with his back, and then there was like a follow up with if they were going to like I don't know if he'd done it before he signed there, and then they weren't going to help him with the op and stuff like that. There was just a wee bit of like stuff with that. I don't know if I think he actually got it all sorted and stuff. I think he's probably just went with like the work route and looked after his sort of his body.
Could be getting a wedge in the Lowland League somewhere, surely, man. That's what I'd never imagined if I was
him. Surely he'd be prolific at that level. He was always one that. I know you can't exactly judge a player on this, but he was always good on Football Manager. You know what I mean?
Stats are good. He seems like technically like a really good player. So he's one of those ones that, like, as I say, I think he was down south. I think he was at Carlisle or something, and he got a really bad injury. And I think that he came back up to Falkirk, and his first year back up here was the year where, because we went through a time where it was like at Falkirk we had the boy Farid, who came Farid El Alawi and scored, I think it was like 20 odd goals that season. And then he went on and had got like his move and went down to Brentford. And then the next year we had other striker, we had boy Lyle Taylor, who was like 27 years old, came in just running through people like they weren't there. And then he left, and you're thinking, oh, how are we going to replace that? And then Rory came in, and then Rory went and done the same. And he just felt like every time you're getting a striker. And then to be fair, after that, we signed John Baird, and it was like he's probably thinking, if I go and do what they've done, I'm going to be away again. He came and scored like 20 goals as well. It was a time where like the club just had strikers that just
seemed to just grown him in his back garden or something.
I know, he just produced them out of nowhere. So Rory was like a really good player, probably one that should have maybe, or not should have, but probably could have went and had a even better career if injuries never quite like held him back. So
and you've gave the game away there, Lyle Taylor up top.
Yeah, I gave a game away. Another one as well where I only played him for a year and he was like really sure he said he was one of those like cocky guys came in and you kind of, in a way, but like, as soon as we signed him, you want him to do well because he's in your team, but not one of those that you immediately go, oh, I really hope he does well, because he was just like one of those kind of cocky guys, like as if almost quite thought he was better than it. And then pretty much was for a year. He was just better than everyone he played against. I just remember like countless games where he literally could just put the ball in behind and he would just bully people, run past them, scoring from like awkward angles. I don't know what he finished. I think it was like something like 27 goals or something he got that year, but he probably could have even had like more. And then what was weird about him as well, which that year I thought like the Championship went and scored what he did. It was like, he won't have like a decent career. So he was still really young. And then obviously he went down south and it never quite like worked out. And then he was back up at like Partick Thistle. And then never really done, I think he done okay, but not like amazing. And then he went down south and I think he went like Wimbledon first, and then down there, that's when he like sort of found his form, started like score again more often. And I thought, oh, maybe like that's just where his like level is. And then was it, I don't know if he went from Wimbledon straight to Charlton or if there was something.
I think he went to Charlton. And then was he not one in the summer that like when football started after COVID, he was saying he wasn't going to play because Nottingham Forest that's, wanted him and there was stuff like that.
That was what, see, when that one came out about like him doing that, it wasn't like a surprise. You knew he like, he cared about yourself, and like, which is fine because it's like it is a short career. And it's like, see, if you're going to make X amount of money, like you need to look after yourself. And I think some people are different. They've got like allegiances to clubs or they think that they owe it to people and stuff. But Lyle was just like, he was single-minded. Like he knew what was best for him and that's what he wanted, which is probably why he's been and done so well, because that like he knew how to do it. So
I think at the time, like obviously they were trying to stay in the Championship. I think they went down, but I'd seen an interview with him and he's like, oh, well, I got us here last season, like type thing. Because like, I think he bagged 20 in League One or something, got them up, and he's like, I've done my bit, like, I've got us here, so I'm not playing for the rest of the season type thing. And
it's hard because I think that fans, I've always said that fans look at playing for like their club at like an individual basis. They think that's the best thing ever because they're fans of that club. So they think, well, that's my dream to play for them. So he doesn't know how lucky he is. But for a player, like some, I've played loads of players don't like football, they just happen to be good at it and they know that it's a career. But it's like the old thing that they say, it's like if somebody offered you five times your salary to just move down the road, like you would do it for the same job because why would you not? You'd be stupid not to. And it's like, I think lots of footballers do that. Like they see it as, this is a career. And it's, as I say, like Lyle, if he's probably went through the last 6-7 years before that, but he's not been doing well. Mm-hmm. It's like you only have one bad season and you don't get a new deal or you don't get a new club, or like then it's you that's not getting paid at the end of it. It's not like the fans don't say, Jeremy, as soon as you have six bad games in a row, fans are like, why is he in the team? Not, oh, he should have signed another 5-year deal and stayed with us forever and stuff. Because it goes both ways as well. Obviously, there's times where players can like show a bit more loyalty to that club, but clubs are quick to drop players as well as soon as it's not going right for them. So I can certainly see why he thought that was a good idea. But he was a top player when I played with him, so it doesn't surprise me he's went on to do well.
I might be setting you up for a fall, William Craig here, but who are you making captain of that team?
Oh, I'd probably make Joe my captain, because Joe Shaughnessy, when he, like Stephen Anderson was captain, and then there was like an awkward kind of changeover where he was coming out of the team and Joe had been playing every week and the manager made Joe captain. And at that point, I seen like probably why Joe could be, and he could probably be a captain for like a long time as well, where I couldn't put Liam as my captain as well, because it's bad enough. Like, I used to room share with him when we went away to like Aberdeen or Inverness and stuff, and he used to talk like constantly and like really nice, loved football, like mad on football and stuff as well. I think if I made him captain of that team as well, I'd probably just hear a wee bit too much from him. So
and then I don't know if you had any this question wrote down, but the last one I had for you was, do you see yourself staying in like the game once you retire? I know it's a good few years away yet, hopefully, but is it something like, I know Greg does a bit of coaching with the under 20s and stuff like that. Do you see yourself staying involved?
I always thought I would, like when I was coming through, I always thought that I would just play for whatever amount of years and then I would go into coaching and then hopefully management. And then the longer I was like in football, I started to think that the bits I don't like about football are the bits that if you went into coaching management and that's well, you're not going to get rid of. Like I hate the fact that 2 years down the line you could plan your wedding and then you could find out the week before it that you've got a game that day and you're not, it's like football just changes and that, and you've got, there's no kind of like plan and stuff. And I find like that sort of thing, things a bit difficult. But then now again, getting a bit older after that period, I start thinking like, I can't imagine not being in it. So I can't imagine going to whatever my like next job could be. So I think it's probably something that I'll look at more over the next couple of years and start like working my way through my badges and hopefully sort of take a bit more coaching things, because I'm not, like we said about like Greg taking 20s, I've never really coached like even sort of younger kids or anything at like any level. So it's probably something I'd like to get in over the next couple of years. But
would you be his assistant if he gets in?
No, I couldn't listen to him at all. That's why he's no. If I'd played with Greg, even if he was the best player ever, he wouldn't get in my team. So nah, I think that he's one that like he seems to love it, like loves coaching, loves like the management side of things as well, and probably got like a great experience for doing it. So maybe at some point I'll get involved a bit more.
Did you have anything else, Matt?
Like Greg, thanks for being on, because I appreciate that you've taken your own time to do this.
No, that's fine. Thanks for having me on. It's been good.
So that sums up this episode. Thanks again to Blair for taking the time to come on and give us his thoughts. As you'll appreciate, as viewers and listeners, some good information there, and I look forward to seeing if Liam Craig or Chris Miller, anybody's got anything to say about it. Blair, I don't think, has got social media, so he'll miss any replies that come in. So as always, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video, subscribe, that'd be greatly appreciated. Any comments or feedback, you can get us on Twitter at TurnstilesThe. And we're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you prefer listening to watching. So that's all from us, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.